Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me. Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. Before we get started, I want to let you know that today's program is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. And you can support the show at support.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, The Silver Blue Matter, Parts 3 and 4.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Wake you up, Johnny?
Oh, Garcia, no, just finished breakfast.
Oh, you special investigators do live. Suppose that insurance company of yours could put me on expense account?
Maybe, if you found that $100,000 worth of stolen furs.
Just a matter of time, Johnny.
Now you're talking like a police lieutenant.
How soon can you come down here to headquarters?
What's up? Has the watchman talked?
Crispin? No, he's still in a coma. But I want to know some more about that kid you mentioned on the phone last night.
Eddie Money?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. That was told to me in confidence.
Look, Johnny, I'm going to talk to you like a policeman for a minute. A man named Weller was knifed to death last night. You told me yourself his death is probably tied in with that warehouse robbery. Another man is dying at Queen of the Angels. So, confidence or no confidence, I want to know about that kid.
All right, Garcia. I'll be there in 20 minutes.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Los Angeles, California. To the Home Office Mono Guarantee Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Silver Blue Matter. Expense account continued. Item 10, $1.45, taxi from my hotel to the police headquarters office of Lieutenant Garcia. The early morning fog was starting to lift and the city sprawl beneath a slate gray sky. The filtered sun should have softened things, but didn't. Gray sun, gray world, drab and dreary, and a case to match. Teenagers, not a gang of hardened criminals. A bunch of wild kids who'd broken into a warehouse and stolen 80 fur coats, silver blue mink. A night watchman had been slugged and lay dying in the hospital. And a lunchroom owner named Red Weller had been stabbed to death the night before. So it couldn't be called kid stuff. That term doesn't apply to murder.
Run those four cards through, Joe. See what you can make on them.
Thanks.
Come on into the office, Johnny. This madhouse out here gets you frazzled before you know it.
Oh, you police detectives have it pretty soft, Garcia.
That's news to me.
Teletypes, photo files, record cards, crime labs. How'd you like to try working alone?
On your expense account, I could suffer the hardship. Now let's go in here. Have a seat, Johnny.
Thanks.
Yeah, did I put the fear of the Lord in you on the phone?
You were real impressive.
Yeah, the chief was breathing down my neck.
Well, then I'll stop trembling.
Kidding aside, Johnny, I've got to know just how that Monte boy figures in this.
Did I say he even figured in it at all?
No. You just wanted some information on him. But he figures all right. You didn't come out here from Hartford to look up the nephew of an old friend.
Oh, I've done crazier things at times.
He's got a record. You know that?
No.
Petty stuff. No convictions. Gang brawls, auto pilfering, vandalism, intoxication. Interrogative attitude, sullen, hostile, antisocial. Yeah, that's quite a nephew you've got, Johnny.
Black sheep of the family.
What's the story? How did you get onto this kid?
Look, amigo, I made a promise on this. I hate to break it.
It's murder, Johnny.
This kid's sister worked for Red Weller in that lunchroom across the street from the warehouse. Her name is Carla Monte. She's 5 years older than he is. They live together. Their parents are dead.
So?
So I put some pressure on her, and she told me she thought her brother Eddie might know something about the robbery. She took me to a pool room to meet him.
How was he supposed to have known about it? PSA?
No, no. She admitted later that she suspected him of being mixed up in it himself. Things he'd said, the way he acted. She asked me to help her try to keep him out of trouble.
I think he's already in trouble, Johnny.
Yeah, so do I. And I think she does, too.
What did he have to say when you talked to him in the pool hall?
Several things, but they added up to two words. Get out. When I wouldn't, he did.
Hmm. Why do you think Red Weller was killed, Johnny?
Well, I think those kids used his lunchroom as a lookout post to spot the prowl car that was patrolling that area. As soon as it passed, they pulled the job.
It figures all right.
I think Red realized it when he thought back and knew who the kids were. I think that's what he was going to tell me.
So they found out what he was up to and knocked him off to shut his mouth.
Yeah, it adds up, Garcia.
Oh. Now, tell me about her.
Carla?
Hmm.
What's to tell? She's just a girl, like millions of others. Decent, hardworking, and real sweet. But there's something about her, something special. I don't know what, I don't know the words to use, but... Well, it's there, you feel it. And she's kept it somehow, in spite of everything.
I guess I know what you mean.
Do you?
I told you once, Johnny, I grew up in that district. I know how rough it is.
Well, maybe it's even worse for a girl.
It is. I know. I had a sister.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She was a lot like this girl, Carla, once. Then the district got to her, and she got to be more like Carla's brother.
What happened to her?
1 to 5. Possession of narcotics. A couple of other pretty rough charges. She died in Tehachapi prison 7 years ago.
I'm sorry, Garcia.
Yeah. I don't want to see this girl, Carla, hurt any more than you do, Johnny. Maybe the hurt will break her, make her lose that something special. But I've still got to pick up her brother and bring him in for questioning.
Expense account item 11, $1.90. Taxi to the Weller lunchroom to see Carla Monte. Lieutenant Garcia had a police detail checking known fences and borderline dealers specializing in furs. But so far, none of those contacted had been approached by any member of the warehouse gang. Albert Crisman, the night watchman who had been slugged during the robbery, was still in a coma, unable to talk. So Carla remained my best, in fact, my only lead to the case. The lunchroom was closed. I paid off the taxi, walked 3 blocks to Carla's apartment house, climbed the stairs, and knocked on her door.
Yes? Who is it?
Johnny Dollar. I'd like to talk to you.
Oh, all right. Just a moment. Come in, Johnny.
What were you expecting? A major invasion?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm expecting.
Easy, Carla, easy. It's not the end of the world.
Eddie didn't come home last night.
Oh.
I tried, Johnny. I tried to be a mother and father both to him. What did I do wrong?
Well, that's the kind of question that doesn't always have an answer. Have you got a drink in the house?
Have I what?
Got anything to drink?
Well, there's some brandy, I think.
All right, get it.
Well, I don't know if it's a good brand or not.
It doesn't matter. Bring 2 glasses. Pour out a couple of stiff ones.
No, I don't
really. Go ahead and pour them, 2 of them.
Well, all right.
Is this a snapshot of Eddie when he was younger?
Yeah. He was in junior high school then. It was taken at summer camp when he won a medal for swimming. And that was the only year I could afford to send him. Here you are, John.
Thanks. All right, here's a go.
Oh, I don't think.
Now drink it, all of it.
All right.
Good. You needed that.
Where do you think he is, Johnny? What's happened to him?
Carla, you're going to have to face it sooner or later, and I kind of think now is the time.
What do you mean?
You've been worried sick for fear your brother would get into some kind of trouble. And you had reason to worry. It's finally happened.
No.
He's in trouble, all right. Plenty of trouble. You're not the only one looking for him.
Who else is? Who do you mean, Johnny?
The police. There's an APB out. They want him for questioning in connection with the robbery and with the murder of Red Weller.
Oh, no. Eddie wouldn't kill anyone.
Maybe not, but somebody did. Some member of the gang that robbed the warehouse. And it looks very much as if Eddie is a member.
Yes. I suppose he is.
Now, look, Carla. Is there anything you haven't told me about the robbery, I mean?
No. I was just suspicious, that's all.
Because if there is, let's have it. It's too late to protect him now. The sooner he's taken into custody, the less likelihood of his getting any even deeper.
He was out that night. He didn't come home until almost morning. I was worried about it, but I knew it wouldn't do any good to ask him.
Do you know who was with him that night?
No.
Who would be the most likely ones to go along on a deal like that?
Any of them. Any of those he's been running around with lately.
Any idea where they hang out mostly?
Well, just those two places I took you to last night. That drive-in and the pool hall.
Look, if they did pull that robbery, where do you suppose they take the furs?
Well, I don't know.
Does Eddie have a car?
No, but some of the other boys do.
Uh-huh. Carlo, would you mind if I look through Eddie's room?
No, I don't mind. It doesn't matter. I guess nothing much matters now. It's gone so far that...
Wait.
It's Eddie. He has his own key.
All right, take it easy now.
Be careful, Johnny.
Sis, you're gonna have... What the devil are you doing here?
Looking for you, Eddie.
Yeah, what for?
I think you know.
Eddie, you've got to give yourself up.
Shut up! Because I got you to thank for this jam. This insurance dick comes around, romances you up a little, and you sell me right down the river.
That's not true.
How'd you know you were in a jam, Eddie?
I got friends in this neighborhood. They keep me posted.
Did the same friends tell you Red Weller was about to make a deal to talk?
You're whistling in the dark, Dollar.
Maybe. I imagine Garcia will find out, though, when he gets you down to headquarters.
Get your hand off that phone!
Oh, so you've got a gun.
Eddie, don't. Please.
Keep out of this. Move back against that wall, Dollar. Put your hands flat against that wall. You keep them there. Give me some clothes, Carla. Come on, make it fast.
What are you going to do, Eddie?
I say get me some clothes.
All right. You're wrong, though. You're making a big mistake, Eddie. It's no use running. You'll only... Eddie.
What's the matter?
Down there in the street. A police car just pulled up.
You're lying. Stay where you are, Dollar. I'd kill you, Carla. You're the one that brought him here. Trying to let him trap me. I think I'll pull a bullet in you before I leave.
You fire one shot and you won't have a chance. They'll be in here before you can get out of the hallway. You better make up your mind, Eddie. Well, you've still got time.
Stay where you are, Dollar. Don't try to come after me.
Eddie, please. Give yourself up, Eddie. Stop him, Johnny.
I'm afraid it's a little late.
Why did you let him go?
There was no choice, Carla. He'd have killed you if I'd moved. Well, you'd better give me that list of his friends. The police will want it.
Heaven help him.
Yeah. That's about all that can help him now. Johnny Dollar.
Lieutenant Garcia, Johnny. Are the boys in the police car still there?
There are three police cars here now. They've searched the apartment house from top to bottom.
Any luck?
No, Eddie got away. I didn't dare make a move to stop him. He was going to shoot his sister.
Well, we'll get him, Johnny. Don't worry about it.
I don't intend to. My job now is to locate $100,000 worth of stolen furs, not to go after Eddie Money.
It's the same job, isn't it?
Probably. Did you see that list of his friends Carla gave me?
I just put out an APB to bring them in.
Good. They weren't all in on that warehouse robbery, but some of them were.
If they were, we'll tag them. We've got an interrogation room down here to sort the sheep from the goats.
Yeah, I know. But first, you got to catch your goats. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Los Angeles, California, to the Home Office, Mono Guarantee Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Silver Blue Matter. Expense account continued. Item 12, 2 cents for the way I felt. I hung up the phone and walked to the window, stood there looking out into the street. The police were leaving the apartment to carry their search for fugitive Eddie Monte into wider territory. And Eddie's sister, Carla, sat huddled in a corner, forlorn, beaten, brokenhearted. From the window, too, the view was anything but cheerful. Dirty, cluttered streets lined by row on row of sagging tenements, drab and gray in the weakening light of late afternoon. This was the slums that had spawned Eddie Monte, raised and nurtured him, made him into a member of a gang, and had now sent him fleeing from the police with a gun in his hand. And the same slum had bred the others of the gang who'd robbed a warehouse of 80 silver blue mink coats, slugged night watchman Albert Grisman into a near-death coma, and had murdered a man who'd tried to give them away.
Why, Johnny? What got into him? Why is he ending up this way?
I wish I could tell you, Carla.
I did something wrong. That's it, of course, but what?
Forget it. You did all you could.
It wasn't enough.
Well, sometimes nothing is enough. And nobody knows exactly why.
I loved him. I never thought of him as just a nuisance of a kid brother, the way a lot of girls do.
Now, look. You did more than anybody could expect. You were a pretty young kid when your folks died. Too young to have to take on the responsibility of raising a teenage brother.
But I tried. I tried hard. And I thought I was doing all right until lately. But now this...
So it didn't work. And what's happened is breaking your heart. Well, that can't be changed. But just remember this one thing. You did the best you could. And that's all anybody can do. So don't blame yourself.
Tell me something, Johnny.
Yeah?
You're wearing a gun. I don't think Eddie knew it when he ran from here. Maybe you couldn't have used it to disarm him.
Not when he was on the verge of killing you.
But you could have drawn it and killed him. He was careless. He gave you several chances. Why didn't you?
I don't know.
Thank you, Johnny.
I'd like to look through Eddie's room, if you don't mind.
All right. I'll go with you. This way. It's down the hall.
Thanks.
Well, somehow I still can't believe it. Not the killing, at least. Eddie is just not that kind.
Well, a kid gets under pressure sometimes and gets pushed overboard. Maybe we'll know more when they pick him up.
What if he tries to resist arrest?
You know the answer to that.
Oh, I hope he doesn't. Well, here it is. This has been Eddie's room since he was 13. It ought to tell something.
The main thing at the moment is to find something that tells where he might go to hide out. And I've also got $100,000 worth of furs to locate.
Well, you go ahead and look around. Whatever you want.
Okay, thanks.
I'll be in the living room. You call me if you want me.
For the sake of company, I switched on a beat-up record player in the corner. And I looked at 6 years of a boy's life, accumulated in one room. Comic books, hot rod magazines, school mementos, knickknacks, photographs. Junk mostly to anybody but the owner. I went through all of it, then through the drawers and chest and through his clothes. Nothing. I looked over the photographs stuck in the mirror tacked on the wall. Some of the names on the boys' pictures were the same as those on the list Carla had given to the police. There were a few pictures of girls and a lot of pictures of hot rods. I picked up an envelope of loose photographs lying on the dresser. They were views of a second-hand panel truck, and in all of the pictures, Eddie was standing beside the truck with obvious pride of ownership. One of the views showed the front license plate. I turned the envelope over. The film had been developed less than 2 weeks before. I called Carla back into the room and asked her about it.
No, I didn't know he had a car, or a truck, rather.
It may not be his, but I'll lay odds that it is. That look on his face is a dead giveaway.
I don't know. He sure kept it a secret. He never brought it here once.
Do you recognize the background in those pictures?
No, I don't. It looks like a storage yard or an industrial place of some kind, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'd call it that. Do you mind if I take these with me?
Of course not. But why?
The gang had to use something to haul those furs away from the warehouse.
But if Eddie was keeping the truck a secret from me, it was because he was planning to use it for the robbery.
That one or some other one.
Johnny. He was in on it all along.
Look, Carla, I've got a hunch Eddie is the leader of that gang.
Oh, no.
I think the truck was used in the robbery, and I think when we find it, we'll find the furs, and we'll find Eddie. See you later, Carla. Expense account item 13, $1.85. Taxi fare from Carla's apartment to the police headquarters office of Lieutenant Garcia.
Oh, Johnny, I've been trying to locate you.
Oh, what's up?
We picked up two of those kids on Carla Monte's list. Friends of Eddie's.
Wow, that's a start.
Not with one of them. He's in the clear. Perfect alibi. We have something on the other one, though. Want to help me talk to him?
Yeah, sure. Oh, say, here are some photographs I picked up in Eddie's room a while ago. We should take a look at them, Garcia.
All right, let's see them.
The pictures were taken about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Now, if this truck is his sister doesn't know about it.
Yeah, he sure got that owner look on his face.
Yeah, he sure has. That second one there shows the license number, see?
Yeah, I see it. You think they might have used this in the robbery, Johnny?
It's a possibility. And we're not exactly swamped with angles. I was wondering, too, if you happen to recognize that background behind the truck.
No. No, but it looks like it might be down in that area somewhere, the warehouse district.
Look, why don't you get some copies made, circulate them, and see if any of your boys can tag the place.
Oh, you insurance dicks do get ideas sometimes.
Oh, you'd be amazed.
All right, I'll do it. And now let's go down and talk to that kid.
Interrogation room 519 was on the fifth floor. Bare walls painted gray, a business-like room without a doorman or compromise. Furnished only with the necessary table, chairs, and lights. We stopped in the anteroom and looked in through the one-way glass window. The boy waited alone at the interrogation table, trying to put up a tough, defiant front, but failing by the tremble of a lip and the occasional flick of his eyes.
Well, let's go in. Get it over with.
The kid stiffened when he heard the door open, but he didn't turn around. He just sat there at the table, braced and waiting.
You can take that chair at the side, Johnny.
Okay, thanks.
What's your name?
You already know it.
I said, what's your name?
Mario Santoris.
That's your right name?
Yeah.
Where do you live?
Roxman Place, my aunt.
Ever been arrested before, Mario?
No.
Hey, you've got kind of a bad memory, haven't you?
Why?
September of last year. Arrest made by Officer C.J. Barton. Charge, possession of stolen articles. Hubcap, two auto radios, one camera.
I wasn't convicted.
I asked if you'd ever been arrested. Not convicted.
It was a frame-up. I didn't have any evidence.
No, apparently not. Witnesses for the prosecution refused to testify. Case dismissed. Here, what are you going to claim this time, Mario? Another frame-up?
I don't know why you brought me in here. I don't know anything about anything.
That bad memory again, huh?
I just don't know what you're talking about.
It's lucky for us that Eddie Monty had such a good memory, isn't
yes,
it?
What about Eddie? Huh? What do you mean?
Is he a friend of yours?
I know him.
He's got a fine memory, that boy. Too bad you can't remember things the way he does.
What are you talking about?
Oh, that's true, all right. Eddie remembers everything that happened. What he did, what Mario did.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, that's because of your bad memory, Mario. Why, Eddie remembers the name of every boy who was in on that job and just what each one of them did.
What job?
That warehouse robbery. Have you forgotten about that?
I don't know anything about any robbery.
Well, there's been a lot of talk. At least you've heard about it, haven't you?
I don't know anything about it.
Maybe you've just forgotten.
I don't know what you're talking about.
When did you see Eddie last?
I don't remember.
Have you seen him since the robbery?
No.
How can you be sure? You said you hadn't heard of any robbery.
I haven't.
Still, you haven't seen Eddie since the robbery.
Well, I...
Come on, Mario. Tell us about it.
I guess maybe I did hear about it.
So?
Well, why shouldn't I hear? It was in the papers. Everybody's been talking about it. So what if I did hear? That don't prove anything.
But you said you hadn't heard.
So I forgot. Guy can forget something, can't he?
Yeah. If he's got a bad memory, he can.
And Mario's got a real bad memory, Johnny.
Not Eddie, though. He remembers how you guys loaded those furs into his truck. How you waited across the street in Red Weller's until the prowl car passed. How you slugged the night watchman, Albert Christmas.
That's a lie!
How do you know it is, Mario? You don't even remember it. Eddie does, though. He even remembers the next night. When you stabbed Red Weller to death to keep him from coming to me.
No. No, I didn't do that.
Of course you did. You don't think Eddie would lie, do you?
It's not true.
Makes sense to us.
Is Eddie here? You pick him up?
How would we know what he remembers unless we picked him up? Now, how do you think we got your name? Out of the telephone book?
It's not true what Eddie says.
Well, if you've got anything to say, we'll listen to it. But I don't think it's necessary, do you, Johnny?
No, I think Eddie remembers everything. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
He's lying! You listen to me. I'll tell you the truth.
I'll get a stenographer.
Now, here's our star to tell you about the final intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, a cautious search, an ambush, bullets and tears. and the end is violence. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Les Crutchfield, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. I think so far this episode is just fantastic as drama. Not a ton of mystery, though we have some questions here. Well, this works, I think, as a real adult crime drama. Even the thing with the picture of the car, which, of course, we can't see, I think their sort of impression and their ability to see what he means by the look on his face really builds into their empathy and their feeling. This kid took a tragic wrong turn and his life could have been different otherwise. It doesn't quite, so far at least, and we'll see how part five turns out, it doesn't quite pack the powerful emotional wallop that you get at the end of part five of the Valentine Matter. But it may be a little bit more realistic and true to life, which I guess could help. We shall see in part five. Well, now we turn to listener comments and feedback. Regarding the Callicles matter, Rebecca says, one of my favorite Johnny Dollar shows. And then we have a review on iTunes. And a reviewer going by screen name, What Am I Thinking, says, I really enjoy listening to all the great detective shows that Adam shares. He does a great job on presenting the program and giving his take on them. I'm so glad to find this podcast that plays only old-time great detectives. Well, thanks so much, and I'm glad you're appreciating the show, and keep on listening. All right, well, that will do it for today. Join us tomorrow for Nick Carter, Master Detective, and then we will conclude the Silver Blue Matter on Friday. In the meanwhile, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.